Well, a few years ago, I read about a gift. There was a guy who bought a lottery ticket. It was kind of on a whim, and he didn't really necessarily want to keep the ticket, so he decided to give this lottery ticket to his girlfriend as a gift, and so he did. And to the young man's surprise, and to his girlfriend's surprise, the lottery ticket was a winner, a $3 million winner. What an incredible gift, right? Wonderful. Well, it was wonderful until his girlfriend after that said, "Thank you very much, and by the way, I'm breaking up with you." Their relationship dissolved, but as you can imagine, the winning lottery ticket became the subject of a subsequent lawsuit. Well, the lawsuit took place, and at the end of the lawsuit, the girlfriend was awarded the money because the young man had given it to her as a gift. The $3 million was hers. Well, that was bad enough for the young man, but to make matters worse, it was also decided that since he was the one who purchased the ticket, he was also responsible for the taxes that went along with the $3 million. Double whammy, right? Well, that wasn't all. After that, as if that wasn't bad enough, when the man's ex-wife heard that he had won a winning lottery ticket, she and her lawyer decided he wasn't paying enough in alimony, and so they upped the alimony charges for him as well. What a great gift, a winning lottery ticket, right? Well, this morning we are not focused on a winning lottery ticket. We're not even focused on how much money you expect to win betting on the Super Bowl a little bit later today. But we are thinking about gifts. When Paul writes to the church in his letter to the Corinthians, he is writing about gifts, but not just any gift. He is writing about spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts, as we know, are wonderful blessings. They are wonderful gifts, kind of like a winning lottery ticket, right? But in the Corinthian church, spiritual gifts were a huge problem. In the church in Corinth, people were arguing and fussing about spiritual gifts. Some said their spiritual gift was better than the spiritual gift of others. Some said, because of the spiritual gifts I have, I am more important than those who don't have my spiritual gifts. Some in the church in Corinth said, well, we speak in tongues. And others said, well, we interpret those who speak in tongues. So we are more important than those who speak in tongues because we interpret them. The situation was a complete and utter mess. So Paul writes to the church to speak about these issues, and he wants to answer some questions the church has about spiritual gifts. Questions like these: are some spiritual gifts more important than others? Or maybe this question: are some people more important in the life of the church because of the spiritual gifts that they have? Or maybe even something as basic as this: what are spiritual gifts given for? Why are they so important? Well, Paul begins this discussion by saying, now, brothers and sisters, about these issues of spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. Then he continues in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working in the life of the church, but the same God works through all of them and in all people. You see, Paul wanted the Christians in Corinth and us to understand that, yes, there are different kinds of gifts, and different people among us have a variety of different kinds of gifts. But here's what Paul was saying that's most important. Paul says, always remember that God is the one distributing these gifts. God is the one who takes all of the spiritual gifts and distributes them as God sees fit. God is the one who decides who gets which spiritual gifts. So if God is distributing the spiritual gifts, Paul says, we can never put down another person because of his or her gifts, because those are the gifts God wanted that person to have. Now that's Corinth. What about us? Well, think about what that means for the life of our church today. There are different people here with different spiritual gifts as directed by God. Some of you here this morning have the gift of compassion. Others do not. Some of you have the gift of hospitality. Others don't. Some have the gift of music. Others don't. Some have the gift of sharing your faith in meaningful ways with other people. Others don't. Some of us can do certain things and do them very well, while others, those same activities make us feel uncomfortable and uneasy. So within the life of the church, in the life of our church, there are certain gifts that have been given to specific individuals among us. But others of us do not have those gifts. We all have different gifts. So does that make some of us more important than others? Are those who have the gifts of hospitality more important than those who have the gift of discernment? Are those who have the gift of compassion more important than those who have the gift of music? Are those who have the gift of teaching more important than those who have the gift of evangelism? Paul's clear answer to those questions is absolutely not. All of these things are gifts that are given by God, and God selects the people who are to have the specific gifts, and the gifts are distributed in different ways. So there is, within the life of the church, a distinct need for a diversity of gifts. And just because one person has a gift that another person does not have, it does not mean that either one of those individuals is more important than the other. Each has the gifts God wants those people to have. And here's something else Paul says. It's not only that people are not more important because of their spiritual gift, but also Paul says, don't think that some people are more holy or that some people are more spiritual because of the gift they have been given. In other words, Paul says loudly and clearly in these verses, do not equate spirituality or holiness with the exercise of a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts in type and in quantity do not equate with higher or lower levels of faithfulness or devotion to God. So what is Paul really saying? What does all this talk about spiritual gifts really mean for us? I want to share with you what I think are three very clear, applicable lessons to our lives about spiritual gifts as Paul discusses in these verses. Number one is this: spiritual gifts in your life are given to you by the grace of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual gifts you have in your life are given to you by the grace of God's Holy Spirit. We are told in verse 4 of this passage that there are different kinds of gifts, but there is one Spirit who is giving all of these gifts. So every person here this morning has been given a gift out of the grace of the Holy Spirit. The gifts widely vary, but everyone has a gift. One way to think about the church is to imagine it as a beehive. In his book, The Vital Congregation, Herb Miller writes about the beehive principle that he talks about. And he uses that to discuss the same idea Paul is writing about in our text today in Corinthians. Here's what he says. Miller writes, honeybees have a highly developed social structure. A beehive may house as many as 80,000 bees, each of which performs a specialized duty. Some are forager bees, he says, which fly great distances to collect food. The guard bees protect the hive entrance from intruders. The scout bees keep the hive alert to opportunities and to dangers in the outside world. A few bees serve as undertakers, responsible for removing dead bodies from the hive. Others are water collectors. Some are plasterers. The scent fanners station themselves at the hive entrance, and they blow the scent from the hive outward so that disoriented bees can locate their way back home. Here's the point, he says. Every bee has a role. 80,000 bees, and every bee has a role. Every bee has a purpose. The same is true in the church, Miller says. God freely gives gifts to each one of us. Why? So that the church then can function to the very best of its ability. That means God has freely given gifts to you so that you might use those gifts given to you from the grace of the Holy Spirit within the life of this church. Your spiritual gifts have been given to you as a grace gift from God. Secondly, our spiritual gifts are intended to be used in a Christ-like attitude of service. We don't just have these gifts to use them in any way in which we would choose. God gives us these spiritual gifts and expects us to use them with a Christ-like attitude. In verse 5, we read that there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord gives these different kinds of services. In other words, regardless of what your gift is, we are to use our gift within the same kind of attitude with a Christ-like spirit. All of us are to have an attitude of service. Paul says, regarding the gifts we have been given. Our gifts have been given to us so that we might use them with the attitude that Jesus Christ himself exhibited while he was here on earth in Philippians chapter 2. Again, Paul reminds us, he says, that we are to have the same attitude of mind as Christ Jesus. God has freely given us these spiritual gifts to be used in ministry so that we might have the very attitude in mind that Christ Jesus had in his life. We are to have an attitude of service. But then there's a third point, and that is this. Spiritual gifts are the result of God's work in a person's life. Paul says in verse 6 that there are certainly different kinds of working, he says, but it is the same God who is at work in all of them, in all people. In other words, that is to say that using your spiritual gift is allowing God to work in you and through you. When we as Christians put our spiritual gifts to work, then what we're actually doing is we are participating with God in building God's kingdom. We are being used by God in ministry. We are becoming vessels through whom God infiltrates this world with love and grace and goodness. We often say it is when we use our gifts that we become the hands and the feet of God. In fact, another way to say this would be to say it this way. When we use our spiritual gifts, we are fulfilling the very reason God created us. When you use your spiritual gift, what you're doing is you are fulfilling your purpose in life. When you use your spiritual gift, you are allowing God to use you for the very reason in which God created you. You are fulfilling your life's purpose. Now, sometimes we might think, well, I don't know that I have many gifts. In fact, sometimes I don't feel like I have any gifts, we might feel. But verse 7 of our passage is very clear. Now, to each one, Paul says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So what does that mean? It means that all of us, every person here this morning, every person connected to this church, every person that is a part of this body of faith has a spiritual gift or several spiritual gifts that God, through grace, has given to you so that you might use them so that our body functions to the best of its ability. There is not a single person here this morning who has not been given a gift by God. These gifts vary widely, but they are unique. They are individually crafted to you. So that rather than institute a professional clergy in the life of the church that is responsible for everything that the church does, what God has done is gifted every single part of the church for the task of ministry. Another way to say that is every Christian is a minister. Every Christian is a minister. Now, you may not be ordained to the full-time work of service in the life of the church, but you have been given spiritual gifts that God has crafted you uniquely for your role and your purpose to serve within the life and the functioning of this church. And God expects each one of us to use those. You are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every Christian is a minister. And Paul says those gifts are given for the common good. As diverse as our gifts contribute to the unity and the effective functioning of this community of faith. George Bernard Shaw once said, "I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community. And as long as I live," he says, "it is my privilege to do for the church whatever I can." That is my role. That is my purpose. As a Christian, that is who I am called to be. What a wonderful outlook on how to use our spiritual gifts. What he's saying is, my life is not only for me, but in the bigger picture of things, my life is for the community of faith. My life is for the body of Christ. And all my days, I have the privilege, the sacred privilege given to me by the grace of God to use my gifts however I can to build up the community of faith and to support my church. So the question before each one of us today is, what is your gift? What are your gifts? If you don't know, how can you discover what your spiritual gifts are? Well, there are spiritual gift inventories that you can take that will help you understand what your spiritual gifts might be. But you don't have to take one of those. There are several things you can do. In fact, this morning, here's what I would encourage you to do. Number one, pray about it. Ask God to open your eyes to the gifts and abilities that you have been given so that you might be led to areas of service. Now, through the course of our lives, our gifts can change over time, and at different phases of our lives, we can use these gifts in different ways. But this morning, you're encouraged to pray about what gifts God has given to you right now that you could use for God's service. We would pray, "God, show me, give me opportunities to use the gifts you've given to me." Now, sometimes we might be afraid to say that prayer. Sometimes we might think, well, I'm too busy and I don't really want to pray that prayer because if I do, God's going to give me opportunities that I'm not sure I can really take on right now. But you know, the reality is when we don't pray that prayer, we miss out on fulfilling the very function and purpose that God created us to serve. We miss out on fulfilling our role and our purpose in this church and in this world. Spend time in prayer, asking God to help you discover your gifts. Do a self-examination. Take time to think about what it is you're good at, what you're comfortable with. Examine your talents. Give thought to your strong points, your traits, your characteristics. Take an honest look at who God has made you to be and what gifts God has given to you for partnership with God in service. Ask others, thirdly. Ask people around you. Ask trusted friends. Seek advice and input from mature, trusted Christian friends who will tell you what they see in you and how you could serve. And then fourth, and probably most important, try it. Find an avenue of ministry and give it a try. You may choose to become involved with something that we already have going on here at the church, or you may look at yourself and discover a spiritual gift where you want to begin a ministry. You want to start from scratch, a way that you can use the unique gifts that God has given to you. The main point is this: take a risk. Step out in faith. Leave the place of comfort so that you can use the gifts that God has given to you. For the reality is, there is nothing more disappointing or saddening than a gift that has never been used, a gift that was never unwrapped. What if when you went home today, you were looking around in your house and you found a gift left over from Christmas a month and a half ago, and it was never opened, it was never used? What good would that gift be? What usefulness would it have served? Many of you know that my father is a Baptist pastor. You might not know that on my mother's side of my family, her father, my grandfather, was also a Baptist pastor. So I didn't really have a choice, you see. It kind of came at me from both sides of the family. But tragically, my grandfather on my mother's side was killed in an automobile accident when I was about 5 years old. So I never really got to know him. But about 20 years after his death, when I was 25 years old, I was being ordained to the ministry. And after my ordination, my mother gave me a huge box. And this box was filled with papers from my grandfather's ministry. They were typed sermons, they were Bible studies, they were handwritten notes, they were scraps of paper, they were developed sermons. The box was full of hundreds, if not thousands, of pages of all of this work that my grandfather had done in his ministry. It took me quite a while, but I went through that box and went through each of those pieces of paper. And much of it was very interesting to me, but if I'm honest, I will tell you, there were times when I was going through that material and I found myself thinking, was it really worth it? The thousands and thousands of hours my grandfather put into typing and writing and studying and developing and creating these sermons and Bible studies and these notes. The thousands of hours he spent, was it really worth it only to have 2 decades later his grandson going through all of that material and throwing so much of it out? Was it really worth it? And I'll never forget God speaking to me very clearly, and God said, Kevin, what if the box was empty? What if he had never used his gift? You see, the contents of that box were tangible evidences of just a portion of the way my grandfather used his spiritual gift to be used by God to share the grace and love of Jesus Christ with other people. The waste would have been not throwing all this stuff away 2 decades later. The waste would have been if he had never used this gift. The waste would have been if his box was empty. So my question for you this morning is, what is in the box you are leaving behind you? I don't mean tangible keepsakes, but what is in that box of spiritual gifts that you have been given, that you are leaving behind you as a legacy to other people? You know, when we dream of the future of our church, there are so many dreams that can come, but wouldn't it be a fantastic dream if the reality of our dream was this, that we had full boxes of all Christians using their spiritual gifts in the way God intended to build up this church and this community of faith? Every Christian at First Baptist Roswell taking the gifts God has given to us and using them in faith to build up this church and this community of faith. Every Christian is a minister. Paul said to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, but rekindle the gift of God that is within you. So today, is it time for you to unwrap your gift? Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we're grateful this day for your word that comforts us when we need to be comforted, and it challenges us when we need to be challenged. Lord, today we are challenged to use the spiritual gifts you have given to us. So Lord, today we pray that you find us faithful in using our gifts to build up this church and this community. So Lord, lead us and guide us as we seek to serve you and to fulfill our purpose in this world and in this church. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.